Have you noticed how conversations feel different lately? You're talking with a friend, sharing something important, and their eyes glaze over. Or maybe you're the one nodding along while mentally drafting your grocery list. We've arrived at a strange cultural moment. Everyone's talking, but nobody's listening. The irony is almost comical. In an age of unprecedented connectivity, genuine understanding has become vanishingly rare. This breakdown isn't just frustrating, it's corroding the fabric of our relationships. Active listening, the practice of fully engaging with what someone is communicating, not just the words, but the emotions and unspoken meanings beneath them, has evolved from a nice-to-have social skill into something approaching a superpower. When you truly listen, you're not just processing information, you're creating space for another human being to exist fully in your presence. That's increasingly precious in a world where most of us feel like we're shouting into the void. Real listening involves several interlocking techniques that work together like instruments in an orchestra. Paraphrasing, restating someone's words in your own language, might seem simple, but it's transformative. When you say, "So you're feeling overwhelmed because the deadline moved up and you're short-staffed," you're doing more than confirming facts. You're demonstrating that their experience registered with you, that it mattered enough for you to translate it into your own understanding. Then there's the whole realm of what you're not saying. Your body speaks volumes. The slight forward lean that says, "I'm interested," the open posture that signals safety, the eye contact that communicates presence without staring. Research confirms what we intuitively know. These nonverbal cues often communicate more than our carefully chosen words. When someone's telling you about their terrible day and you're scrolling through your phone, your body is screaming, "You don't matter," louder than any verbal reassurance could counteract. Emotional labeling takes courage. It means naming the feelings swirling beneath the surface. "You seem really frustrated about this," or "This is bringing up a lot of anxiety for you." Many of us avoid this because it feels presumptuous or risky. What if we're wrong? But here's the thing, even when your label isn't perfectly accurate, the attempt itself communicates something powerful. You're paying attention to their inner world, not just their words. And silence? It's perhaps the most underrated tool in the listening toolkit. We're so uncomfortable with conversational pauses that we rush to fill them with noise. But silence creates space for the speaker to gather thoughts, for emotions to surface, for truth to emerge. The next time you're tempted to jump in with a response, try waiting 3 seconds longer than feels comfortable. You might be surprised what emerges from that space. Beyond obvious distractions like phones, deeper barriers sabotage listening. We carry conversational roadblocks: judging, dismissing different views, topping, competing with, "You think your day was bad?" patronizing, condescending tones, and distraction, physically present but mentally absent. Most insidious are cognitive distortions, irrational beliefs from past experiences coloring interpretations. When Cheryl suggests a new restaurant, Paul bristles, assuming criticism stemming from hypercritical parents, not her actual words. Childhood wounds interfere with hearing what's really said. Unrealistic expectations breed disappointment. Lisa expects her dramatic mother to suddenly become calm during weekly calls. When mom continues interrupting, Lisa feels frustrated and guilty, emotions killing effective listening. The solution isn't changing her mother, but adjusting expectations to match reality. Physical states matter enormously. Tyler snaps at Sue over a comment about making the bed, not because he cares about chores, but because he's hungry and his back hurts. Our bodies send signals coloring emotional responses. Unaware, we misattribute irritation to others rather than our own discomfort. Before you can truly hear others, understand yourself. Your triggers, biases, and emotional patterns create static that interferes with receiving what someone's actually communicating. Challenge cognitive distortions by listing your negative self-views, assumptions about others, and reactive tendencies. When a strong emotion hits, pause and ask, "Is this about now, or am I responding to something from my past?" This question creates space between stimulus and response. Mindfulness means staying present without judgment. When Hannah tried listening to her friend Mary's breakup story while on a work deadline, Mary felt dismissed. The solution isn't superhuman focus, it's recognizing when you lack capacity to listen well and being honest about it. I really want to hear about this, but I'm scattered right now. Can we talk tonight when I can give you my full attention? Physical self-awareness helps you recognize when your body hijacks your listening. Notice tension in your jaw, chest tightness, rapid heartbeat. These signal emotional activation. When you feel them, take a breath. This brief pause can prevent relationship-damaging blow-ups. Your voice quality, volume, pitch, pace, tone, reveals your emotional state and shapes how others receive your words. Maintaining a neutral, steady tone during charged conversations prevents escalation. It's not about suppressing emotion, it's about choosing how you express it. Asking the right questions transforms conversations. When Supervisor Jane proposes a dangerous indoor slide for a corporate event, Ian doesn't reject it outright. He compliments her vision, then asks strategic questions. What materials were you thinking? Where would people land? These questions guide Jane to recognize the problems herself, preserving both the relationship and safety standards. Framing matters enormously. Questions starting with why sound accusatory. Instead of, why did you do it that way, try, I'm curious about your thinking on this approach. Timing shapes outcomes as much as words. Larry approaches Supervisor Kim about a promotion immediately after her contentious meeting. His terrible timing results in dismissal. Before important conversations, assess emotional state and ask, is this a good time? Different communication modes serve different purposes. Divorced co-parents Hank and Yvette discover texting dramatically reduces conflicts. For verbally oppressive Hank, texting provides crucial processing time for emotional regulation. When dealing with gaslighting, manipulation making you question reality, listening changes. Hal deflects Sally's concerns about suspicious texts by accusing her of invading privacy and being jealous. Recognizing gaslighting requires listening for absolutist language, you always, noticing evasion tactics, and seeking outside perspectives to distinguish facts from manipulation. Persuasion begins with listening, not arguing. Alan, an IT technician, resolves Eddie's Wi-Fi issue by first validating Eddie's troubleshooting attempts, creating receptivity to the actual solution. When sharing controversial views, finesse matters. Aria feels uncomfortable with drag queen story time, but must navigate this with Linda, whose child will attend. Rather than attacking Linda's values, Aria acknowledges her perspective while calmly explaining concerns, maintaining their relationship despite disagreement. Motivational interviewing proves remarkably effective. Acknowledge challenges, express concerns, then ask others to suggest solutions. People implement their own ideas far more reliably than imposed ones. Words carry tremendous power. When Betty addresses unwanted physical contact, her phrasing, "You're just always disrespecting my space," triggers defensiveness. Better approach? "When you put your hand on my shoulder, I feel uncomfortable. I'd prefer we keep our interactions without physical contact." Confidence amplifies persuasion. Project it through preparation, eliminating filler words, maintaining upright posture, offering firm handshakes, and speaking with steady volume. True confidence differs from arrogance. Confident people acknowledge they don't know everything, but trust their ability to find answers. Emotionally charged situations test our listening skills most severely. Liam feels drained after every interaction with his sister Frances, who struggles with addiction and abusive relationships. He's learned that empathy has limits. He can provide support while accepting he can't fix her situation. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is recognize what's not yours to fix. When someone displays defensive body language, crossed arms, tight jaw, averted gaze, adjust your posture to appear less threatening. Comment on what the person seems to be feeling rather than declaring what they are feeling, and provide reassurance. Validation is perhaps the most underutilized tool in difficult conversations. When Nancy approaches her mother-in-law Hilma about being too lenient with 5-year-old Henry, she validates Hilma's discomfort. "I know it's hard as a grandmother to impose limits." This makes Hilma feel understood rather than attacked, opening her to Nancy's request. When someone shuts down completely, vulnerability breaks through. Robert notices his girlfriend Lydia has gone silent during a conversation about intimacy. He reaches for her hand and asks what he can do to help her feel safe. This approach, taking responsibility without assigning blame, helps Lydia open up. Setting boundaries prevents resentment. Express what's triggering your concern, clearly state your needs, offer alternatives, and explain consequences. In our distracted world, genuine connection has become revolutionary. Active listening demands we slow down and create space for another person's full humanity. The techniques explored, paraphrasing, emotional labeling, strategic silence, validation, aren't just communication tools. They're acts of radical respect that say, you matter, your experience is real, you're worth my full attention. Everyone carries invisible burdens. The irritable colleague might be caring for a sick parent. The distant friend might be battling depression. Real listening creates moments of recognition that remind people they're not alone. The self-awareness required for effective listening transforms you too. Understanding your triggers, biases, and patterns makes you more fully human. You recognize how your past shapes your present, how assumptions color perceptions, how your body signals emotions before your mind registers them. Start small. In your next conversation, resist planning your response while the other person speaks. Focus entirely on understanding their meaning, emotion, and experience. In a world that's forgotten how to listen, your attention is a gift. Your willingness to hear someone fully, without judgment, agenda, or distraction, creates healing connection. That's not just good communication. That's how we remember we're human.